Hello and welcome to Together Forever. I'm Dumisani Mfune, and with me in studio is
Mandla Lupondwana.
As we've been looking at respect, how we as guys understand it and how our wives would understand respect. And Mandla has just really opened my eyes, and I'm pretty sure your eyes have been opened too, to understand this better. Now, there's an interesting twist to it. So without taking up any more time, Mandla, let's get right to it.
Today we start talking about a growing phenomenon of wives who are earning significantly more than their husbands.
Significantly more.
I'm not talking about a few hundreds. I'm not talking about one or two thousands. Significantly more. So significant that sometimes you find that the major purchases and expenses in the home come through her. Your bond is probably registered in her name. The car is probably being paid by her. And some of the major expenses, they could be furniture and so on. So you find that she is the main provider. Now, why is it an issue? How is it connected with respect? As men, when we are growing up, we are told that, we are taught that being a man, being a husband, includes being a provider. Mm-hmm. And so we grow up seeking to provide. Even when we are looking to get married, the elders in our families, our friends, our uncles, our parents, they will always ask you if you have a job. Will you be able to provide for your family? Will you be able to put food on the table? So it's drilled into us that as men, as husbands, our primary function is to provide. Sometimes you go to church and you find that a preacher will open the Bible and turn to Genesis chapter 3 and say, boom, this is what the Lord said to Abraham, to Adam. You will eat the sweat of your brow. And so it becomes very clear to us as boys, even growing up, that you need to provide. You need to be there providing for a family, providing a roof over their heads, food on the table, clothes on their backs. This is what we believe. And this is what informs our idea of what a husband is and our idea of what the head of the household is.
And this whole concept of a man providing, it wouldn't necessarily be Western, would it? I mean, could we say that idea also has existed with us as Africans from the word go? Or is this a new foreign concept?
The idea of husbands being providers is not foreign to Africans. You even see in the patterns of inheritance in Africa that you get to realize that it's a very African thing.
Goes to me.
Because African families generally or traditionally have always dealt with inheritance from the side of the man. The man would always inherit and the daughters would marry off and become part of the husband's family. And she would get her inheritance when the husband gets his inheritance. So husbands have always been known as heads of household. Even when we had imbizo, which would be community meetings, you'd find that generally men would go and attend. Okay. And you find that the man has not always been known as this particular woman's husband, but the woman has always been known as this man's wife.
I see. Men
in Africa have always been heads of household, and they've always been seen as the ones who provide, because the woman leaves her home and comes and lives with you in your home. It has always fallen upon the husband as head of the household to do that. And this is why even there was a lot of, at a stage when we were hunting and gathering as Africans moving around, even at that stage, the men would go and do the dangerous stuff of providing the animal, which was once in a blue moon. But basically, he had to go and provide, because even in cultures that have got lobola, it is the man who went and paid lobola to the family of the woman so that he would get a wife. So it is very much part of our African history for a man to be head of the household and to be the provider.
Now, this twist, how does it change that? Would I be wrong to say that, well, you know, it's just how things are and we should just change with the times? Or does it present more problems than I'm thinking of?
The challenge now is finances. It's just the issue of providing now is attached to money. It's attached to salaries and there are figures attached to it. And there are a lot of things that are monthly or fortnightly that require money, and that's the basic change. Because in the past, I think we had mentioned this earlier on, in the past, you would have a man way back who went and he hunted and he brought back an animal. And we ate this animal and we would probably wait for another month or two before he gets another one. But in the meantime, the wife is gathering fruits and whatever, and we're eating day to day.
Okay.
And so, she, in terms of the bulk of what we eat every day, it basically came from the wife.
True, true.
Yes. But no one saw it that way.
Mm.
Even when we go back to rural areas now, you'll find that a man will stand there and say, these are my cattle. He's pointing at 200 heads of cattle. These are my sheep. He's probably pointing to 100 sheep and his goats and so on. But how often does he slaughter these goats and sheep and...
prepare the meat itself.
Very rarely does that... You need an occasion for him to slaughter one of these animals. So on a day-to-day basis, what would happen? The women would provide. They would go into the garden. They would go and collect some vegetables out in the fields. There's something called umfino, where the women would go and select among the weeds, and then they collect whatever is good, mix it with some mealie-meal or ground corn, and cook a meal. So generally, if you look into African society, traditional African society, the people who are responsible for the day-to-day providing of food were really women.
Mm, yeah.
And it was not an issue. Do you know why it was not an issue? Because no one was counting.
Okay.
No one was looking at the figures and saying, okay, you are bringing more, bringing less, therefore. And no one was counting, and that was it. You did your stuff, I did my stuff.
Everyone was happy.
Everyone was happy, we did our responsibilities. But what helped the man there, even though there was no money, was that he had status, he had position of being head of the household. He was the husband, he had authority. Enter the salary. Now that there are salaries, things have changed. There are numbers. But we started out as men, and we gave each other advantages. Whether it was during colonialization, whether it was during apartheid in South Africa, men gave each other advantages. Now, you'll find that it cut across races because the apartheid government looked after the black man to make sure that he still earned more than the black woman. So you'd find two teachers, one male, one female, but the government made sure that the male earned more than the female. Mm-hmm. It happened in white communities in South Africa, and it happened in black communities. So you find that men basically covered each other's backs all the way. When salaries came in, we wanted to make sure we had numbers on our side. And that's fine. It kind of kept the element of authority, the element of position. It gave... our authority, our position of head of household shifted then from the fact that culture said it and scripture said it, and it was predicated on our ability to provide.
Mm.
You became now head of this household because you pay for this, you buy this. And even the language changed. There was a time when men would never say, this is my house. They would always refer to this as our home.
Mm-hmm.
But with the change of times, the language changed to this is my house, my this, my that, because he paid for it. And so with the change in language, shifted also the basis for our leadership, the basis for our authority in the home.
Mm-hmm.
And with that shift, we were now basing our authority on money. But what happens when your wife out-earns you?
Good question. Now, sadly, Malla, we're out of time and I'm itching to find out how it shifted. I've now seen the bigger picture, but I'm really keen. So guys, to hear what has changed exactly, you need to listen next time. Until then, God bless you.